Thank you, guys. Thanks for jumping on this call again. I really appreciate the support for NXT and the interest in the brand from all of you, and really thank you for the coverage that you've given it and the support over this period of time. And I feel like I say this every time, but it's a very exciting time for NXT and what's happening right now. You know, the first international tour for NXT of the United Kingdom, our first international tour period for the brand. You know, massively excited time. I can't tell you how excited the talent are. While you have some guys and girls on there that have international experience, you have a lot that have probably never ventured outside of the United States. And for them to be heading over to the UK on tour in this manner, and to be doing the business that we're doing, you know, packed events in every city we're in, you know, and capping it off with the NXT TakeOver special on the WWE Network and you know, a sold-out Wembley Arena is just awesome. And can't tell you how excited they are. You know, this is a huge opportunity for NXT, but also for WWE. You know, as this event will take place in the U.S. at 3 p.m. Eastern on the WWE Network, you know, the pre-show will be at 2:30. It's a much different time slot, obviously, than usual, and it's an opportunity for the U.K. to sort of receive, you know, in some way their own live special event, pay-per-view, if you will, that emanates from the UK. It's been a long time since the WWE in any manner has been there to do something like that. And for them to have that air on the WWE Network live in prime time for them, so that they don't have to stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning or whatever it is to watch a WWE event, it's a huge opportunity for them. It's a huge opportunity for WWE. I'm hoping that this is very successful on every level, and is something that is, you know, my desire to do this is to reinvigorate that process to the world, and hopefully the reaction to all of it and to the network is big enough that we will be doing these more and in different markets and in local time zones. You know, I think the Japan Beast in the East special kind of set a template that even at 5:30 in the morning, if it's special and it's good, people will tune in. And that's what I'm looking forward to proving again here with this NXT TakeOver. It's an exciting card. I'm very excited about it. The you know, from top to bottom, to get to see Asuka and Emma, which Asuka just, I think for the first time, a lot of fans are going to see what I already know, that she's one of the most just colorful and spectacular performers out there. And I think they're going to get a glimpse of that. They've seen bits and pieces of it on NXT programming, but this will be the first time I think they get to see her go and kind of fully unload, so to speak. And Emma always is just such a great performer. I think that this will be something special. Dash and Dawson, you know, a team that are kind of, I think, at the forefront of reinventing the tag team sort of landscape in the WWE in general, but certainly in NXT, and along with some others, are really kind of reinvigorating that division. And it's very exciting against Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy, that more personality than probably anybody out there right now. Apollo Crews and Baron Corbin, two young guys trying to prove their place in the world, but both from different, you know, different sides of everything. You know, Apollo coming up through the indies and just grinding for years, and Baron Corbin kind of coming in a different route, and maybe because of that, sometimes not always having the respect that I sort of feel like he deserves. And because I can tell you right now, he works as hard as anybody else. The second, and certainly, I don't know no less than, but the second women's match on the card is the NXT Women's Championship match between Bayley, who is just, you know, proving to be over and over again, proving to be such a fan favorite, you know, just people just connect with her on that kind of underdog emotional level, like I, you know, I haven't seen in a while. And Nia Jax, just this totally different, unstoppable force for the NXT Women's Division. Very excited about that. And then, of course, the NXT Championship match between Finn Balor, just one of the most dynamic performers we have, and Samoa Joe. And I will just say that while Joe has been obviously around for a long time and, you know, always been a spectacular performer, I haven't seen an invigorated Joe, a passionate Samoa Joe like we have seen in the last few weeks on NXT. Like we've seen right now, it's just something different. He has flipped a switch and gone back in time, I think, and it's great to see. I think his passion for the brand has come through, and it's really exciting. That's the live NXT TakeOver on the network. There will also be quite a few other matches taking place. Sami Zayn will be there wrestling that night, as he will be on the entire tour. We'll have a Fatal 4-Way on the card that will air the following week between the Vaudevillains, Jordan and Gable, the Hype Bros, and Blake and Murphy. We'll also have a debut of Elias Sampson. It's going to be a spectacular card all the way through. This tour is massively successful so far, or already, and I can't tell you how excited we are to be there. Like I said, this is all leading to more and more success for NXT. I think once we get past the holidays, we will be having some announcements in the beginning of the year. I think that people are going to be kind of very excited about, to say the least, coming up sort of the beginning of the year. So I said it last year that it was going to be a big year for us, and I think it's, for me at least, exceeded expectations, and I think that in the coming year I have huge expectations, and I'm hoping I exceed those as well. So with that, I will open it up to the questions.
Guys, we have a lot more international media on the line this time around, so let's keep it to one question per outlet to try and get to as many people as possible.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your phone keypad. Please release the mute feature on your phone to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star 1 to enter the queue. We'll turn first to Mike Johnson with PWInsider.com.
Hey, Paul, how are you, sir?
Mike, what do? Are you call in the day before and just wait in line? You're always the first guy. You're always first in line for the ticket. What's happening?
I guess born lucky, I guess. I don't know. I honestly don't know, but I'll take it while I got the streak going. Right. You know, NXT always seems to have a lot of the old school elements to it. This week, Enzo and Carmella and Colin came out, and such a big part of their shtick is the entrance and the mic work. But due to the storyline that they were in, they came out and they were angry, and there's a realistic sort of feel to that that at times we don't see in the main roster. So my question for you is, why is it that NXT, you guys are able to kind of capture some of those old school elements and use them, while on the main roster there seems to be a disconnect with portions of the audience and how the guys are presented? And why is it that you guys are kind of able to maintain that quality of control, where maybe Raw and SmackDown week to week, they're not able to do that? And sometimes guys come out the next week and they're smiling, even though on the previous episode something dastardly has happened to them.
Look, I think sometimes it's a difference in styles, and a difference in theories, and a difference in the way things are done. And I don't necessarily believe that one is better than the other. It's different styles. We have a saying here, chocolate and vanilla. You know, for NXT, I control the product, and I don't on the main roster. There's just a different philosophy, and that's okay. I think they're both are very valid and have their their place. But it's chocolate and vanilla. When we put together NXT, I get to pick the flavor.
All right. Well, they said just one question, so I'll jump back in the queue. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you. We'll turn to Jason Paolo with ProWrestling.net.
Hey, Paul, you've spoken publicly about how challenging it is to have Raw as a three-hour show. And meanwhile, it's kind of a – maybe it's a pipe dream, but it's a popular talking point amongst fans. The idea that maybe giving the first hour of Raw to the NXT brand, if that idea were even pitched, is that something you would embrace or would you fight against that?
Boy, it's been thrown around. I've heard the thought, not internally, but I've heard the thought from outside. I mean, I've heard it bandied about, you know, and, look, 3 hours is hard. The thing that, for me, if you made NXT one of those hours and you're kind of, if the thought would be, and look, there's a lot of ways to skin the cat on this, if the thought would be to do it there that night, then you're just really kind of doing a third hour. You know what I mean? Like then it's not NXT and then it's not different and it's not a different brand and it's not a different feel or flavor. It's
right.
If you're just doing it all in the same, it becomes all in the same. Is there a way to do that? Maybe. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, 3 hours, no matter how you do it, is extremely difficult. No matter, it just is. And, look, I'm the first guy to admit, if I go to a movie and it's longer than 2 hours, I'm looking at my watch. I don't care how good it is, thinking, boy, this is long. But it's very difficult to do, but I think that we just have to become more disciplined and more creative with how we do things and how we operate the shows. We've had some unfortunate situations with injuries and everything else. And look, it's on us to be more creative and come up with a better format, a better show. Look, we hear people's frustrations and we in a lot of ways feel the same way, you know, and it's just, it's fixing it and trying to fix it and it is what it is. How we fix it, we're not 100% sure yet, but we will get there. Trust me.
Thanks for the time.
Next, we'll move to Nick Hausman with WrestleZone.com.
Hi, Paul. Thank you very much for taking the call today.
Hey, Nick.
I just wanted to ask, with a lot of the guys being injured or not on the main roster for one reason or another at the moment, was there ever any thought to calling up Finn Balor onto the main roster? And if not, you know, when do you think we could see Finn up on the main roster?
So I think the point on something like that is when we see Finn Balor will be when everything is right for Finn to get called up. I think he has expressed that he has no rushed desire. He has expressed to me his desire to sort of really kind of ground himself in NXT. You know, the thing that people forget about Finn is he came from Japan where he didn't do promos a lot. There's such a vast difference between what we do and the production level of what we do, and it's overwhelming to guys, and he hasn't been here that long, and he's still, like, there's still a lot of things he's picking up and growing. I see him change and grow every single time I see him and we do television, you know. I see a difference in him and how he's, you know, little things that probably people even watching the show wouldn't see, the way he works a camera, the way he handles himself and presents himself. You know, those are all things on when you look at what we do as putting together a television show as opposed to just guys going to the ring. It's a different point of view, and he is really still learning that, and he's very, very aware of that. You know, the thing that I hate doing is, well, you know, there's a lot of injuries right now, so we're going to pull this guy up. But then the injured guys are going to come back, and then we're not sure what we'll do with, now we got too many guys for the spaces or whatever. Like, I hate taking a guy as talented as a Finn Balor or anybody and saying, look, you're the Band-Aid to hold us over until these other guys come back, and then, you know, and then we'll see from there. If we don't have that game plan in place for when we call these guys up, and I'm not saying for everybody, but especially guys like a Finn Balor, then, you know, it's not the right time. You need to have that. You need to have something in your mind and hopefully a long-term plan in place that gets them to where you want them to be, or at least that would be the goal for me of when guys come up.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up is Justin Labar with WrestleZone.com.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, man. How are you? Hey, thanks for your coverage of the Conor Stewart stuff a few weeks ago, man. I really appreciate it. And Steph says thank you as well.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you. Happy to do it. So not to be redundant, I wanted to bring this up in just a little bit different manner, back to the talk of, you know, NXT and, you know, a lot of talk about 3 hours and this and that. My thought and interest was, you know, Wednesday nights become, you know, NXT night for the WWE Universe and the fans. You know, obviously you guys have such a great relationship with NBC Universal. I've always thought, you're right, you know, 3 hours is still 3 hours on Monday, any which way you cut it. I mean, if Raw was able to be reduced to 2 hours, then you could add another night of programming on an NBC Universal channel, say an hour of NXT Wednesday night on, you know, USA or Sci-Fi. I didn't know if that's ever something, you know, some people I think might say, no, NXT belongs on the network. It's special there. But I still think that if you put it on cable, that maybe that opens up to a whole new audience that hasn't got to see it yet.
Yeah, look, I obviously, you know, as successful as the WWE Network is at this point in time, it's still, when you compare it to just, you know, cable television or whatever, the viewership is much lower, right? So far, one of the things that's kind of cool about being on the network is it's special, and it's episodic programming that makes you want to stay on the network and be a part of the network, and that's a great thing. You know, at the end of the day, I hope, like, look, the Sopranos were on a pay channel. You know, it certainly didn't hurt them long term. It's the biggest show on television. Like, I that would be my hope. Now, if somebody internally here that is of a different mindset, you know, our marketing people, our financial people, all those people, if they were to decide that, look, that would be the right place and the right move, then I would support it 100%. To me, it doesn't matter. I'll take the platform where I can get it, and I'm of the opinion that whatever the platform, if you build it, they will come, so to speak. And if you give them the right product in the right way, hopefully, then people will find it one way or the other because they want to watch it and they hear about it. And you know, if that's on the network, then great. I just got to get a lot more people to get the network so they can see NXT. You know. But it certainly hasn't been hurting us. I mean, we're going to be in London next week on Wednesday. 10,000 people have sold out. You know, we were, you know, as you know, 15,000 at Barclays. Like, certainly when you look at it, and as, again, as successful as it is, the limited sometimes exposure of the WWE Network being a much smaller universe, but it certainly doesn't seem to be hurting the buzz or the expansion of the brand, and I'm hoping that continues.
Great. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we'll turn to Rob Lee with TalkSport.
Hello, Paul. Pleasure to speak with you.
Hey, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Over here in London, very much looking forward to, well, obviously it starts today in Newcastle, but looking forward to next Wednesday as well. I just wanted to ask you about NXT and WWE's relationship. Whatever form it may take with independent promotions such as Evolve and the utilization of talents on, you know, what's thought to be very different kind of deals than may have been offered previously, has really excited NXT's core viewing demographic. And there are several successful promoters running outfits in the UK as small businesses that I know are familiar to the likes of William Regal. And the footage from the likes of Progress Wrestling and ICW and Rev Pro was used in those excellent build videos for Finn and Apollo Crews in a similar way that New Japan footage was used ahead of the Beast in the East special and with Jushin Liger for Brooklyn's Takeover. And Zack Sabre Jr. was also flagged up throughout WWE media a few weeks ago. It'd be deeply unfair of me to ask about the nature of any burgeoning relationships or familiarity with UK promotions or performers, but since that deeply engaged audience is going to be a key component to the live audience of Takeover, are there at all?
It would be deeply inappropriate, but I'm going to ask anyway. I love that. It was a good setup. Yeah, look, I am wide open to finding talent wherever talent are. And by talent, I mean guys that have been doing this for years, and other times by talent, I mean finding the guy that, while sometimes I think fans look down on them because they didn't necessarily find their way here immediately, it doesn't change their passion for it once they get into it, and everybody started from nothing and got where they get or got to where they're going, you know. So I am wide open to finding talent wherever I can find talent, and having the best talent in the world find their way to the WWE, to NXT. You know, I'm well aware, as you mentioned, Regal. It's something that is a lot of times, other than pleasantries, because we've known each other for so long, 90% of our conversations involve those promotions that you just mentioned. You know, we're looking at tapes, he's pointing out guys, he's seeing what he sees. To me, those, I've used the term before, the undercurrent, the internet, independent undercurrent of the business, it's vital to me. It's vital to everyone. I can't, or we can't expect everybody in the world that wants to be in this industry to learn how to do what we do solely based on the Performance Center. It would be ridiculous for me to think that. And I want to take the best guys that I think have the best chance of success, and in some way teach them, you know, our system and what we do. And there's so much more to it than just stepping in the ring and learning holds and maneuvers and the basics of the business. That's very important. Don't get me wrong. It's the most important part, but there's a lot more to it as well. I think having those talent, like the people that you mentioned, go out to Progress, to Rev Pro, to ICW, or New Japan, or to Evolve here in the States, and getting that experience, getting that time, you know, learning their craft and taking the time. This business takes a long time to learn right, to learn how to really do it. And, you know, you think you know how to do it when you've been in it for a little bit of time, and then you realize 5 years later, like, oh, I didn't have a clue, you know. It takes a long time, and especially to learn how to get yourself over and to be a top guy and to draw, to have people be interested in you as a performer, and be long-term, where it's not just a nifty move or something that they see that's shiny and flashy and they go, oh wow, and then they lose interest in, you know, to keep that interest is difficult. So all those places to me are essential. I hope to have, you know, in some way relationships with the ones that do business in the right way, and in a, I don't mean a similar way in the product that you see necessarily at all times, but in a similar mindset to what I would consider to be the correct way and the right mindset for the business. And if they do, then I'm open to having working relationships with them and having conversations with them and you know, all of it. To me, I think it's a very exciting time in the business. I think it's a very exciting time to be a young man or woman and thinking, I want to be a professional wrestler, to step into the business and to try to find their way. There's a lot of opportunities out there. There's a lot of room for people to get experience. And trust me, we are looking everywhere. So, you know, our eyes are open at all times. I have a very, very good team between Canyon and William Regal and everybody that we have out there. There's very few people we don't know about.
That's excellent. Thank you for your time and allowing me to be deeply inappropriate.
Thank you. Scott Fishman with Miami Herald. Please go ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? Good talking to you.
Scott.
You kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but stepping out of your position right now and just from a wrestling fan's perspective, are there any elements of NXT that you would actually like to see kind of adopted on the main roster? I'm not talking about making Monday Night Raw NXT night, but just some things that you think are effective there that might actually be beneficial if they maybe utilized it on the shows on Raw or SmackDown.
Sure, there are some things that I think, like, look, obviously, if I'm utilizing them, I think they're right. You know what I mean? Otherwise, I wouldn't be utilizing them in some way. There is a stark difference, though, and I'm aware of them, or at least most of them, of, you know, what works in NXT and what works in that environment and what works in the larger arenas in front of the whole world. You know, in some ways, and I've used this analogy before, it's different musical styles, and right, if the WWE is more pop music, then we're a little bit more, you know, of an alternative rock or something like that, where there's a bit more niche to it. But, yeah, there are definitely things that I see that could move up and be utilized. I think you see them happening slowly but surely over time. I think you see things that we started in NXT or little bits and pieces of the way we've handled certain things that you see boiling up. But again, it's chocolate and vanilla, and to say you don't want to change the chocolate over to vanilla. So you kind of need to it's a fine line. Let's just put it that way. It's a fine line, but I do think there are a lot of things that could boil up.
Is there anything in particular?
You know, I still think the way that we handle the women sometimes, I think that there is sometimes a disconnect in the way that they're handled or you know, it's tough to make that shift, right? It's tough that you just wholesale change the way you do something and one day you go back to something else. And it's tough to oversee every component of the show for anybody. And so even if you want to change things, there are certain things that slip back into the old way we used to do things, or little bits and pieces that change. Even with talent, their mindsets change. Okay, I did this here, but now I'm on the main roster, so I need to do this differently. They perform differently. They're intimidated sometimes. You know, there's just the things that they take time to change. You know, look, even back in the day, you saw talent come from WCW and they would make the jump over, or vice versa. And there was you think when they got there, you'd go like, wow, it's the same guy. Like, it's just a different, all of a sudden they seem different. And then over time, they slowly got back into their comfort zone. Even those are changes that it's just tough to make people that comfortable. You know, the stuff with the women, I think, the ability to maybe sometimes slow down in the way we tell our stories, and to be able to promote things better. And that's just difficult to do when you have 3 hours. It's really easy to promote something coming up in you know, 2 weeks and not have to give it away. But if I had 6 hours to write in between there, you know, it's tough to put that aside and say, oh, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to promote it for a little bit. You know, it's easy to say, yeah, there are things, but it's a whole lot easier to say than to do.
Right. All right. Thank you so much for your insight. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And next we'll move to Neil Dawkins with the Daily Mirror.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Neil, how are you?
Oh, very good. Struggling with a bit of man flu.
Isn't everybody?
Yeah. I just wanted to ask you, you know, as someone who's you know, obviously always looking to develop the next breakout star, is this UK Tour a good opportunity for you to further assess the progress of the NXT roster, to see how they perform, you know, night after night in front of different crowds, and also to look at what kind of reaction they get from a British audience who have perhaps different tastes in wrestling to, you know, the regular America crowd?
Yeah, I mean, the opportunity for us to... First of all, we're constantly evaluating talent, whether that be at the Performance Center, whether that be as they're doing live events locally in Florida, or whether they're out on the road. You know, every place you go has a different crowd and a different reaction. You know, obviously the further you go, and you know, going to the UK presents a whole different different set of parameters, and the crowd is totally different. So this will be a huge, not only is it a chance for us to evaluate them, but it's also a chance for the talent to grow. That opportunity to go and work in front of different crowds that like different styles, and the thing that you used to do here, you know, doesn't work over there, or it works better. You know, you've got to be able to learn and be able to evolve on the fly. And this, to me, this ability for us to be able to be a global brand NXT and to be able to go to all these different markets all around the U.S., all around the U.K., and hopefully expanding out beyond that this year coming up, it's that experience is just so valuable to talent. I really can't express how valuable that is to them, because they're going to become such well-rounded performers, you know. And look, sometimes I've had talent from NXT that are just huge over for NXT, and then they've gone to a couple of markets for WWE where NXT is not seen heavily. You know, the economy's worse. People don't have the network. They don't have a ton of exposure there, and nobody knew what they were doing, and it's eye-opening to them that they all of a sudden have to work a totally different way, and they have to tell a totally different story to get these to get the fans involved, you know. And it's that's an eye-opening experience, and everybody that has the ability to go and have that experience is going to be a much better performer down the line for us.
Yeah, absolutely, and gives them the chance, you know, stake a claim, you know, as someone who's the one to watch, you know, while they're here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And look, you know, the UK has some of our most passionate and you know, energetic and loud fans that we have any place in the globe. I mean, the UK has always been that kind of a market for us. To be quite honest, I'm other than having to take the flight over there, all the way over there, I'm really jealous that I'm not there tonight, because I just know when those lights dim for that thing to start, that place is going to be insane tonight. All these shows are, you know, starting in Newcastle tonight. I mean, it will be off the charts. Glasgow will be the same way. You know, you go down the line and on all these towns, Blackpool sold out, Cardiff sold out, you know, like the UK brings such an excitement level, and I wish I was there. I will be there in London for the takeover special, but you know, all these shows are going to be special, and that, and being able to see talent walk out there and see that amazement in their eyes as they walk out into the UK for the first time and just, you know, get that feeling. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, guys, the next call question will be the last one for the call. Thank you.
Thank you. And that will come from Merlin Aldersmade with Metal Hammer.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? Thanks very much for having us.
Hey, Merlin.
And then, so you mentioned earlier that NXT is kind of like something of an alt-rock brand, and that's something obviously that appeals to us a lot as a music magazine. It feels like NXT has been very proactive in reaching out to a lot of music fan bases. You've had like Motionless in White and Bring Me the Horizon and Motorhead for the UK one, soundtrack some of the events, and you've obviously had the some NXT showcases at some recent US festivals. I just wondered if that was something that you guys have been purposely trying to do to try and branch out the appeal of NXT a bit, and I wondered if we'd be possibly seeing some NXT shows at some UK festivals down the line, given how great the response to the current UK tour is going.
Yeah, I think, you know, in trying to make the brand different, and it just had a different vibe and a different feel to it. And, you know, to me, music's all about vibe and feel, and I go with what feels right for the for what we're doing, and that, whether if that's hip hop, that's great. If that is, you know, punk or heavy metal or rock or whatever it is, you know, you try to find the right vibe for it. And we've been, as we have found now that there's just this, I think there's, I don't know, it seems to me like there's kind of this rock and roll revival thing going on to me, but that's just me. I feel like we've been lucky to be in a position where, you know, kind of maybe right time, right place. But as we started this, the NXT Loud brand, and kind of started to connect with these bands, more and more started reaching out to us, wanting to be a part of it, wanting to get the exposure. You know, they help us put the right tone and tenor and emotion to what we do, and we're helping give them exposure and driving their album sales and their recognition. And and you know, the fan base is very much the same, and that was never to me more evident than when we were at Aftershock and Louder Than Life this year, two music festivals in the U.S. that we had amazing response to, and were large parts of the festivals. You know, coming to the U.K. I think opens us up to the music festival scene there, which is huge. We definitely are talking. We're definitely having conversations about our involvement in that in 2016. You know, all of it. We're talking about coming back to the U.K. for festivals. We're talking about coming back to the U.K., period. We're talking about going a lot of other places around the globe. And hopefully they all pan out. But the music stuff is great to me. And it's it opens us up to maybe people that watched years ago and are, you know, this opens a door for them to come back in, whatever that connection point is that you can make with somebody to get them to sample you and then become fans. And if that means, you know, working with the Struts with a song like Could Have Been Me or, as you said, Motionless and White or Sleeping with Sirens or Bring Me the Horizon, you know, and then, of course, you know, you're going to the UK and you need something that is just screams UK. And, you know, it's one of the cooler things in my life to be able to pick up the phone and just call Lev and go, hey, can I borrow a song?
That's awesome.
You know, and have him go, sure. It's to have Motorhead allow us to use Ace of Spades is just beyond words for me. And I think just sets the tone for what we do there, you know. So the music is very important, and you know, and it always is in WWE and NXT. The music sets the tone for who the character is. The music sets the tone for what the promotion is. It's such a big part of what we do, and I, you know, my thanks to all those bands for wanting to work with us, and I look forward to all the stuff we're going to get to do with them in the future, because it's very bright on every level, and that music part of it is a high spot.
That's great. Well, that's a lot to be excited about for sure. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, bro.
Nice one.
I know they said that was the last call, but before I take off, I just wanted to mention one other thing is that, you know, the WWE Performance Center continues to be kind of a shining thing for us and something I'm very proud of. And we tried something this year, which was an all-access event, and we've done a second one since then internally, and we're doing another one as part of the Royal Rumble weekend in Orlando. And I just wanted to mention again what a great opportunity that is for anybody that's, even if you're media-wise or not, if you've been to a live event, you've seen what we do, you've seen the show that we put on. To be able to come to the Performance Center is an inside look at the guts of what we do on every level. And I can tell you right now that you will never have a more up-close, intimate, and personal experience with the business as an overall than you would have in coming to, you know, the Performance Center All Access. It's a really, really cool experience for anybody. And that weekend, we're also going to be NXT will be running a special TV event out of the University of Central Florida campus on January 22nd on a Friday, and we'll be taping NXT television there, and that's going to be just, when I tell you, it'll be an awesome card as well. It'll be great. So if you're coming out to the Royal Rumble, a lot of good NXT and Performance Center things happening that weekend that everybody should be aware of and hopefully be a part of. Thank you guys for being a part of this call and continuing, as I said, to support NXT. I'll throw out the same offer I throw out every time, which is if you would like to come to the Performance Center to get the tour, even if you don't have time to go for the whole all-access day, but come in, take the tour, see Full Sail, come to NXT taping, see what we do. Please reach out and ask. The invitation is open to everybody, and I look forward to reading all your reviews of NXT takeover in London. And thank you very much.